Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Jayanand Gaurang Prabhu. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, 19th chapter, verses 14 to 16. Before diving into the call, I'll give brief introduction of Prabhuji. His Grace Jayanand Gaurang Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. Guru Maharaj and Prabhuji came into Krishna consciousness while at college in 1998. He did his undergraduate at Wits Filani, doctoral degree at Texas A&M and postdoctoral work at University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is a professor of obstetric and gynecologist in the United States. He has been chanting 16 rounds for over 24 years. Prabhuji is very well versed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and has read Chaitanya Charitamrita over 50 times. He has been doing edifications of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam for Bhakti Vrikshas. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Tandvats Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I'll hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you again for having me on this call. You're able to hear me and also see the slide?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, thank you. So these verses this morning, I have I've dedicated this to Goddess Sri Mahalakshmi, and we will. I will also speak a little bit at the end of Mahalakshmi in reference to Radharani, because today is Radhashtami in India. And we are discussing Canto 6, Chapter 19, verses 14 through 16. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाघया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्याश्च कृपासन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So the verses today, 6.19.14. I've highlighted a few things which I'm going to go over in these verses as after we read the translation. Yatam. यथा युवां त्रिलोकस्य वरदौ परमेष्ठिनौ तथा म उत्तम श्लोक संतु सत्या महाशिषः इत्यभिष्ठूय वरदं श्रीनिवासं श्रियासः तन्निःसर्ग्य उपहरणं दत्त्वा आचमनम् अर्चयेत् ततस्तु विधा स्तोत्रेण भक्तिप्रह्वेण चेतसा यज्ञोचिष्ठम् अवग्राह्य पुनरभ्यर्चयेत् हरिम् So these are the three verses for today. 6.19.14-16, they glorify Mahalakshmi and Narayana. So let's read the translation and then I'll come back to this verse and I'll highlight a few more things in this these verses. So the Supreme Lord and his consort are being addressed here. You're both the supreme rulers and the benedictors of the three worlds. Therefore, my Lord, Uttama Shloka, may my ambitions be fulfilled by your grace. So let's just go back to this verse. So both of them are being addressed here, both Mahalakshmi and Anhari. Both of them are being addressed here. Yuvan, Trilokasya. So they are the people, and what do they give to all the three worlds? Bharadav. They are the giver of the benedictions. So all these points, I'm making it here, but then I'll elaborate the meaning of these things later in this discussion. Parameshthino. They have been called. Number one, as Bharado, means as benedictors. So they are the people who are giving to whoever it is in the three worlds. And Parameshthino, they are the supreme rulers. Tathama Uttama Shloka, they are worthy of the highest praise. And why is that? So today we may praise someone, but tomorrow they may not be worthy of it. And then today we don't speak very high of someone. Tomorrow they may be worthy of praise to an extent. So, but there is someone who is always worthy of praise, and he's called as Uttama Shloka. Tathama Uttama Shloka Santu Satya Mahashishaha. So now here, from the conditioned souls have various ambitions. The conditioned souls have various ambitions. And all these ambitions, they are fulfilled. In the three worlds, they are fulfilled. Who's fulfilling Satya? Who's fulfilling these ambitions? The two of them. Mahalakshmi and her consort, the Lord. And how are they being addressed as? Bharada. Because they are the benedictors, the prime benedictors. And how are they the prime benedictors? They are the supreme Parameshthino. You know? They are the supreme rulers and they are worthy of all praise. Uttama Shloka. Santu Satya Mahashishaha. So, and all the great ambitions of an individual living being are fulfilled by this divine couple. Verse 15, Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus one should worship Lord Vishnu, who is known as Sri Nivasa, along with Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So it is, they are always worshipped together. By offering prayers according to the process mentioned above. After removing all the paraphernalia of worship, one should offer them water to wash their hands and mouths, and then one should worship them again. So it's again, the subject matter of this verse again is that they both need to be worshipped together. Iti abhishthuya. They are what is the prayers? They are giving varadam. Srinivasam. So this is the name. So you can see the names of her, Lord Vishnu is being coming in several places in these verses. So here first we have as Bharada, as benedictors. And then, but it is referring to both Mahalakshmi and Narayana together. Uttama Shloka, someone worthy of praise. And here he has been addressed as Sri Nivasa. Sri refers to Mahalakshmi again here. So it's a nice use of the word here, Sri and Nivasa, because these verses, they all talk about the divine couple, both Mahalakshmi and Narayana together. And we will see the reason why it has been addressed that way in the latter part of this session as well. So here the specific word that has been used here is Sri Nivasa. So both Mahalakshmi is also covered in this thing as Sri. Nivasa is one who resides in the abode of Sri. Sri is refers to Mahalakshmi. But again, the word Sri is used here. Shriya Saha. And okay, so in the companionship of Shri. So who is, so if you see this verse here, Shri Nivasam Shriya Saha. So Mahalakshmi is there and he's been addressed as the person who's in the abode of Mahalakshmi. Shri Nivasam Shriya Saha. Tanyasarya, I have split it so that it is easy to understand the word here. Tanyasa, Tanyasarya Upaharanam, all the paraphernalia for worship, Dattvaat. So whatever has been, whatever is there, it's been taken out, and then now new water is being offered. Okay, dattva achamanam archayet. Then again the worship is being done. Achamanam refers to of giving water to the divine couple, and again the worship is being done. Okay, so let's see the last verse here. Thereafter, with devotion and humility, one should offer prayers to the Lord and Mother Lakshmi. Then one should smell the remnants of the food offered and then again worship the Lord and Lakshmi ji. So the key word here is the word humility and devotion. So one should offer the prayers to Mother Lakshmi and the Lord with devotion and humility. And then some other things that are also being mentioned here, that one should smell the remnants of the food offered and then again worship the Lord and Lakshmi. So a process is being explained here. So tata stuvitha stotrena. So again, what are the different ways by which? So here the prayers are being mentioned in the previous verse as well. And here again it says stuvitha stotrena, offering praise. So that means that one should always praise the Lordships, Mahalakshmi and Narayana. One should always offer praise, stuvitha stotrena. So it's not some random talk. It has to be, there has to be a praise. Praise, because they are, why the praise is always required. It is for the benefit of the person who's praising. And they are Uttama Shloka, because they're always worthy of praise. Okay, so, and stuvita stotrena bhakti prahavena chetasa. Okay, paprahavena. So that refers to the humility and bhakti, the devotion, chetasa, the heart, from the heart, the with all devotion and humility, bhakti prahavena chetasa yagnyochishtam avagrahaya punarabhyar chayet harim. Again, the word hari is being mentioned here. So again, so you smell everything, avagrahaya. So you yagnyochishtam avagrahaya. So you smell whatever is being offered, and then punarabhyar, then again you start the worshipping. Punarabhyar chayet harim, to the Lord Hari. So different names of Lord Hari are being mentioned here throughout in these three verses. If you look, then they have been first called as Bharata, as benedictors, Parameshthino, as supreme rulers, Uttama Shloka, someone who is worthy of praise at all times, then again the word Bharata is there, Srinivasam, as the one who is in the abode of Shri, and then here Mahalakshmi's word is coming separately as Shri, and then here you in the last verse, as he's addressed as Hari. So I have prepared this discussion dedicated to Mahalakshmi. So if we look at the meaning, Mahalakshmi is called as Shri. And if we look at the meaning of the word Shri, I've taken this from the Shri Sukta as well as from the different parts of the Vedas as well. What does Shri refer to? A good fortune. Shri refers to good fortune. And how would you know somebody has a good fortune? One has a good spouse. If one has a good house, good children, one has good friends, and then they have various things to eat, cereals, and then one has wealth. So just having wealth alone does not refer to someone having a good fortune. And this is from a material perspective. And disease-free body. So what is the point of having wealth, but if one has disease? So having a disease-free body is also refers to someone who is fortunate. Absence of enemies. If enemies are there and they are constantly having, they're envious of you, and they're constantly trying to do something against you, no fortune can be utilized in a good manner. So you need to have an absence of enemies. Good thoughts. You think good about others. You think beneficial thoughts. good desires. So that itself is a very fortunate situation, that somebody has good thoughts and they have good desires, things that are beneficial for them, to at least take them to the mode of goodness, if not mode of pure goodness. They, fortunate people have a lot of energy and activity. And there is no laziness, without sloth and laziness. It doesn't go well together. Shri and laziness, they don't go together. And then there is pure speech. Their speech is pure. Healthy cows, cattle. So if somebody has healthy cattle, that's a sign of good fortune. Good stature and form. They are well respected. They have a good stature in the society. That is also a sign of fortune. Good food, and then good qualities. So all this refers to someone who is fortunate. So so we can individually, one can see for themselves, also from a material perspective or a conditioned soul, what is, how fortunate one is. But from a spiritual perspective, it's an entirely different story. So what I have done here is, as soon as we have some verses here on Mahalakshmi, there was an Acharya who is the preceptor of Sri Ramanujacharya, and his name was Yamunacharya. And Yamunacharya composed four verses called as Chatushloki in praise of Sri Mahalakshmi. And these four verses give some great understanding of a Vaishnava's approach towards an understanding of a Vaishnava about the glories of Mahalakshmi. And I'm going to go over this, these verses. There are just four verses, but that will give us a more depth understanding of the position of Mahalakshmi as well. Before I start, I offer my humble obeisances to Yamunacharya. Namo namo Yamunaya, Yamunaya namo namaha. Namo namo Yamunaya, Yamunaya namo namaha. It's a prayer recited by the Sri Vaishnavas in glories of, in praising Yamunacharya. Even though Ramanujacharya met Yamunacharya only after the disappearance of Yamunacharya, but Yamunacharya had three fingers in an open position. And as Ramanujacharya mentioned about the different things that he will fulfill, the desires of Yamunacharya, the three fingers, even though he had already left back to Vaikuntha, he had those three fingers then closed. But later, the disciples of Yamunacharya, all the major disciples like Periya Nambi, Trigoshthi Nambi, and so on, they all instructed Ramanujacharya in different aspects of the Shastras. And finally, all the intimate disciples, they themselves became accepted Ramanujacharya's leadership. So in this way, and they are in the Sri Sampradaya, and so who would understand about Mahalakshmi so nicely as the Sri Vaishnavas who are in the Sampradaya of Sri. So the verse goes something like this. Kantase Purushottamaha. So Kantase, Kanta is referring to the loving consort, and whose loving consort is Mahalakshmi? Purushottamaha. Uttama, Purusha, Uttama. The best. The personality of Godhead. And who is the consort? Kantase Purushottamaha. And so he's going to describe. So that is how he is starting the, Yamunacharya is starting the description by saying Kantase Purushottama. As the consort of the Supreme Lord Purushottama is Mahalakshmi. So Kantase. So the verse itself is starting with Mahalakshmi. Kantase Purushottama. Panipatihi. Okay, so here there are three things here. I'll read this part and then I'll explain this. Panipatihi, Shayyasanam, Vahanam, Vedatma, Dehageshwaro. So I'll go from here to here. Panipatihi, Shayyasanam, Vahanam, Vedatma, Dehageshwaro. So Panipatihi refers to Adisesha. So there are three aspects here. Okay, so it refers to the bed of Mahalakshmi, the seat, and the carrier. So who is the bed of Mahalakshmi? It is Adisesha. So she is Mahalakshmi, is always on the bed with Mahavishnu. She is always on Adisesha. Panipati refers to Shaya. Okay, so that is the bed. Okay, so the bed refers to Adisesha. And who is the seat of Mahalakshmi? Is the Vedatma. The Vedas themselves as the body, the embodied Veda itself is the seat of Mahalakshmi. And Vahanam. Vahanam refers to the carrier. And who is the carrier? The carrier of Mahavishnu is the carrier of Mahalakshmi as well. Vihageshwara. So it refers to the Ishwara of all the birds. Okay, the head of all the birds, Vihageshwara, who is Garuda. Panipatihi, Shayyasanam, Vahanam, Vedatma, Vihageshwara. So we understand more. We get some more understanding of what all what are the paraphernalia who associated with Mahalakshmi, like the seat is the Vedatma and Mahalakshmi's, and the bed of Mahalakshmi, okay, is the same as that of Mahavishnu, who is Adisesha, and Vahanam, the carrier, is the Garuda bird. Yavanika Maya Jagan Mohini. However, those conditioned souls, to them, she covers. So that means like Mahalakshmi is not accessible by the spiritual potency is visible for those who are in that liberated state. But for others in the conditioned state, she becomes Maya Jaganmohini. So she covers and creates a veil so that one cannot understand the or see this divine Kapu. Therefore, who is all in the service of this Mahalakshmi? Brahma Isha. Brahmeshadi Suravrajaha Savayata Tvadhasa Dhasi Ghanaha. So Brahmeshadi, so Brahma, Lord Shiva, Sura. The word Su means good. Sura, or all the Devas. So Brahmeshadi, Sura, Braja, Sadahita, all their consorts, everybody. Brahma, Shiva, all the Devas, all their consorts headed by Indra, Varuna, Chandra, Surya, everybody, all their consorts. Tva Dasa Dasi Gana, or all your Dasa Dasi. So they're servant of the servants. So in this way, they are a multitude. Everybody is in the service of Mahalakshmi. So who are we really talking about here? What is their name? Shri Iti Evacha Namate. So what is the Nama? Who's and what is their name of this person whom you're talking about? Her name is Shri. Shri Iti Evacha Nama. That is the Bija Mantra too. Om Shreem is the Bija Mantra there. Like how we have, there is a Bija Mantra for Lord Narasimha. So like there is a Bija Mantra for the seed mantra for Mahalakshmi, and that is Om Shreem. Shri is the name of Mahalakshmi. So Shri Iti Evacha Nama. What is the position of this? She is Bhagavati. Complete in all auspicious qualities. All the qualities are complete in Mahalakshmi. Bhagavati, Brumaha Katam Tvam Vayam. So how is it but this Yamunacharya, so he's calling himself, even though look at the Yamunacharya's position is so exalted, but he's saying that who is she who is so ignorant How is it that he can describe? How would he be able to katham tvam to you? You, how will I be able to describe you? Because you are complete in all auspicious qualities, but I am tvam vayam. So I am so ignorant. How is it that I'm going to even have the capacity to describe you? Kantase purushottamah pranipati shayyasanam vahanam vedatma vige. Vihageshwaro Yavanika Maya Jagan Mohini Brahmeshadi Surabrajah Sarayata Tadvasadasigana Shriti Evacha Nama Namate Bhagavati Bhagavati Brumaha Katam Tvam Vayam. This is the first shloka in praise of Mahalakshmi. Let's go to the next verse. Yasyaste Mahimanam. So now he is talking about the greatness of Mahalakshmi. How do we know what is the greatness of Mahalakshmi? Atmana. Here the word Atmana refers to the Lord. The word Atma has so many meanings. We can see that from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When we look at the word Atma Rama Munaya, for Atma itself, he has given so many meanings are there. And when that is taken with the, in the context or different things, you can. So here the word Atma refers to the Lord himself. Yes, yes. Mahimanam Atmana. Yes, yasti Mahimanam Atmana. Iva tad vallabobi priya. Even by your Lord who is Ishvara. So like just as Narayana's greatness, in the same way it is equal, the greatness of Narayana is equal to that of Mahalakshmi. There is no difference. There is no difference in the greatness of Mahalakshmi and Narayana. So, yasi. Yasi asti mahinama atmana eva tad vallabhobi priya prabhu. Okay, so the prabhu is her prabhu. Even by your Lord, vallabhobi prabhu. So, even he, both their greatness is equal. But, what is that greatness? Nalam matu. So that means that this cannot be really known. Nalam, actually it is matam nalam. Okay, that's that. If you put it like that, then that cannot be known. Matam nalam. So that means that cannot be known or measured. That is the greatness of Mahalakshmi. It is not something that can be just measured or known. Niravadhim. So it is immeasurable. It can, that greatness, it is so much that it just cannot, it can, you can never know or to know to what extent that greatness is. Niravadhim, it is immeasurable greatness, both for the divine couple. Nityanukulam swataha anukulam, they are dovetailed, so eternally dovetailed. Mahalakshmi does not act independently, that is the main thing there. Mahalakshmi does not act independently, she's always anukulam, anukulya, so she's always dovetailed to him. Who is the him? Narayana. Tam tvam dasa iti prapanna. So now, as the servant of this Mahalakshmi, prapanna is prapati, surrender to this Mahalakshmi, surrender to you. Iti cha stoshyami aham nirbhayah. So this Yamunacharya is praying to this Mahalakshmi, Stoshyami, and he is doing the stotra to this Mahalakshmi, aham nirbhaya, without fear, he is worshipping the goddess, Bhagavati. Loke Keshwari, and she is, and who is this Mahalakshmi? She is the Ishwari to all the worlds. Loke Keshwari, all the worlds, she is the Ishwari. Lokanath Daite, and she's also the consort to the Lord of the worlds. So she is the Ishwari to all the worlds, and she's also the consort of the Lord, who is the Lord of all the worlds as well. Dante Dayam Te Vedam Te Vedam. So, and Mahalakshmi is full of mercy. She's the mother, and she's full of mercy, mother Mahalakshmi, and Dayante Vidan. So like his own greatness. So like the greatness of Mahavishnu, the same way Mahalakshmi also is equally great. So this verse here is talking about the greatness of Mahalakshmi. about the in terms of how is it comparable to her consort, and is it something that Jiva soul can even understand the greatness of Mahalakshmi? No, and how Mahalakshmi is dovetailed, not just dovetailed now or then, nitya anukulam, always dovetailed with Vishnu. And our position is that of a servant, always surrendered. And that is the sentiment here explained by Yamunacharya. Always surrendered and always praying. And this is one prayer, you know, that he is able to, without fear, he's able to pray to that goddess. Despite the greatness and everything, without fear, he's able to stand before Mahalakshmi and do prayers to that supreme goddess. Ishatvat Karuna. So it is full of compassion. Mahalakshmi is full of compassion. So it is always easy for us to go to the goddess. Because the goddess is full of compassion. Ishatvat Karuna. I'll just read this together. This part is all together. Nirakshana Sudha Sandukshana. So that whole thing, it just means because of nectarian shower. Nirakshana Sudha Sandukshana. So because of nectarian, and what does Mahalakshmi do? She protects Rakshayate. She's full of compassion. And she just showers this nectarian compassion on anyone, and Rakshayate, and she protects. So, nashtam prat is actually prat nashtam. If you put it like that, then it will be easy to understand. Okay, so originally when this world, because there is cycle of creation and destruction. And so when there is a destruction at that time, why is that not the best position? Because it is tat alabhataha. So that time there is no grace of Mahalakshmi. So some of the Sri Vaishnavas have interpreted this thing by saying that before the churning of the milk ocean, so at that time Mahalakshmi comes from the churning. Before that, things were not very fortunate. But then after that, things were fortunate because Mahalakshmi comes out of the milk ocean and then she goes and marries Vishnu again. So in this way, there, if when there is destruction, which originally perished at that time, the grace of the goddess is not there. Tribhuvanam samprati antodayam. So anantodayam. So this means tribhuvan, all the three worlds. So originally perished, all the three worlds, everything disappeared, right? Now, by the immeasurable greatness of Mahalakshmi, then everything, when things have been created, everything is fortunate. And that position, samprati anantodayam, by immeasurable greatness of this Bhagavati Mahalakshmi. Shreyona Aravindalochana. So here now he's again shifting gears to Narayana. So Shreyaha, and we will understand how the sentiment of a Vaishnava is like Shreyaha, the exalted, the excellence, okay, of Narayana. And he has this lotus eyes, Aravinda Lochana, Manaha Kanta Prasadha Drute. That means without the grace. So this word Prasadha Drute is actually, I'll connect it to the next line here, Samshruti. But so that means, so, and who is this lotus eyed Narayana with Aravinda Lochana, and his excellence, and who's in the heart of that lotus eyed super excellent Lord is consort Sri Devi. Kanta refers to Mahalakshmi here, who's called a Sri Devi. Sri Devi is in the heart of that. But without the grace of this Sri Devi, without her prasada, okay, prasada adhute, what cannot be achieved? Really, nothing can be achieved. Samshruti, okay, so samshruti akshara. So that means, like, if somebody wants just impersonal liberation, kaivalya, that is also if somebody just wants to understand that that one is one with Brahman, that kind of a liberation is also there with Brahma Jyoti. Even that cannot be achieved without the grace of Mahalakshmi. Vaishnavad Vasu. So those, but what is the better liberation here is those who are wants to live in the abode of Vaikuntha. That can also not be achieved. Nrinam sambhavete karchihe. So that means that all these things sambhavyate, or none of these things will happen. Why none of these things will happen? All these things will not happen without the grace of that Mahalakshmi who resides in the heart of that lotus-eyed Narayana, who is super excellent in his position. So wealth, kaivalya, the abode of Vaikuntha, prospects of living in Vaikuntha, nothing will happen without the grace of that Mahalakshmi. Shantananda Mahavibhuti Paramam Yad Brahma Rupam Harehe Murtam Brahma Tatopi Tat Priya Priyataram Rupam Yad Adbutam Yanyani Yathasukham Viharato Rupani Sarvani Tan Yahu Swear. So this way, in this verse, what again it is saying is, without all these basic material qualities, what are the six material qualities Yamunacharya describes here is, I have written some things that to elaborate on this verse on hunger, thirst, desire, sorrow, disease, death. All these are unfortunate positions, are not compatible with Mahalakshmi. So, and this sacred form of Hari, okay, so form of Hari is devoid of all these inauspicious qualities, okay, hunger, thirst, desire. So here, it is almost up to the first two, three lines here is entirely talking about Hari again, and about Narayana, which all these, and who is caught into all these things? Like the conditioned souls who are caught in this ocean of birth and death. But that Narayana is faultless. That Narayana is faultless, and he is neither is he measurable by time, space, or anything material. Nothing, there is nothing material about him. He is completely unbound. So the gears have shifted here. All the description has entirely gone to Narayana again. So, and Narayana, he's the absolute ruler of the universe. He's a dweller as Antaryami, as well as in the Sri Vaishnava parlance, as Antaryami, as well as in the Vaikuntha. Nothing is above. And he's describing him as a Brahman, as Sarvam Kalvedam Brahma. So nothing is beyond this Brahman. So his sacred form is beautiful, majestic, and he's amazing. He's eternally blissful, enjoying his sports. And then he takes several forms. So several forms from time to time. So up to this is the description of Narayana. But Devi, Mahalakshmi also is always there with the Lord. Whatever expansion he is in, she goes in that form as well. So here Yamunacharya is saying that when as Ramachandra, when he comes, she comes as Sita Devi, like that. And since she is inseparable from Narayana, she also takes the corresponding expansions. So this verse is almost dedicated to Narayana, but then it says that whenever Narayana, all with all the same super excellent qualities of Narayana, this Mahalakshmi also comes with the same qualities. So Mahalakshmi is described in these verses as highly compassionate. What are some of the examples is when Sita Devi, when Hanuman had come to see Sita Devi in Ashokavana in Lanka, at that time, Sita Devi asked Hanuman not to annihilate the Rakshasis who were complete, always insisting, they were threatening Sita Devi all the time to take the companionship of Ravana. And Hanuman was going to destroy them, but then she was compassionate. Even to those people, Sita Devi is compassionate. That is the nature of Mahalakshmi. And she even forgave all those Rakshasis who threatened to eat her on a daily basis if she did not go with their wishes. And then there was Isi. And who has access to these prayers to this Supreme Goddess Mahalakshmi? Is those who have controlled their senses, and they are able to get the mercy of this motherly compassion, the motherly compassion, and engulf us in this compassionate blessing, which is just a drop of the, it's a nectarian compassion, and it is full of good fortune, which will shower on all of us. That is the kind of compassion that comes from this Supreme Goddess Bhagavati Mahalakshmi. So Mahalakshmi is also the recommender of liberation. And as one of the four bona fide sampradayas, Sri Sampradaya, the Krishna gives the knowledge chain goes through Mahalakshmi. And therefore, here Yamunacharya is saying here, Devi, the beloved of the lotus-eyed Narayana, if you do not bless a person, no one can get, if you see that was in the third verse of the Chatushloki, that any wealth, any mundane wealth, one cannot get. One cannot get Kaivalya, okay, which is the impersonal liberation, or one cannot reach Vaikuntha by attaining liberation. That is the real liberation. Kaivalya is still, can still fall down from there. So Yamunacharya is calling only Vaikuntha as the actual liberation. And the Sayujya Mukti is not in that category. And the Mahalakshmi is the recommender. So Yamunacharya is saying here that if Mahalakshmi states that this person is worthy of of liberation, then the God accepts it, Narayana. So whatever Mahalakshmi says, that is that has a final verdict there. So Mahalakshmi is a recommender of liberation and is the chief in a bona fide sampradaya through which a whole lineage of Vaishnavas have come about. This is another part of the same verse I've taken, Anukulya. So the Srimad Bhagavatam also says this. The word Shri appears here, Canto 8, Chapter 16, Verse 35. Namo Marakata Shyama Bapuse Dikata Shriye Keshavaya Namastubhyam Namaste Pitavasa Se. Shri or Mahalakshmi is always dovetailed. Keshavaya Namastubhyam. So always dovetailed to that Supreme Lord Keshava. Though, why then one comes a question here? If Mahalakshmi is all competent and equal in all respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why do we not see Mahalakshmi destroying enemies? Because that is how Mahalakshmi acts. By her own independence, Mahalakshmi is, even though she's capable of her just as her consort Narayana to destroy all the enemies, all that was required was just a glance of Mahalakshmi, she can just destroy it. But Mahalakshmi refrains from doing so. Even there she expands, Mahalakshmi does not interact with to that kind of that harsh actions you will not see in Mahalakshmi. There also she expands as Durga to do the harsh actions. But Mahalakshmi is always, the actions are always soft, extremely merciful, and always dovetailing to Narayana's ascent to undertake any harsh mission. So Mahalakshmi does not undertake any harsh missions. So you can see the example here, Sita Devi, she could have just burned Ravana in seconds. But she tells Ravana that she doesn't do though, because Lord Ramachandra did not give her permission to do so. She's always under Shriye, she's always under the control of Narayana, and that is the full use of the free will. Even though she is equal to Narayana in all respects, she does not use it in those situations. She's always, that is the position, that is the amazing greatness of the Supreme Goddess Mahalakshmi. And Mahalakshmi, Radharani herself, she expands herself into three different categories are there. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 19.191. And what is that? Braje Gopi Gana is one class. Mahishi Gana, Lakshmi Gana. Asankhya Gana. So there are infinite, even in the Vaikuntha Loka, there are many, many Vaikuntha Loka. They're all, she expands as Lakshmi. Keshava, Narayana, Padmanabha, Dhamodara. So many verse expansions, Mahalakshmi expands us. And then Radharani expands us. Radharani also expands us. The Vraja Gopi Gana. All the gopis are expansions of Radharani. And then as a Mahishi Gana, as the queens of Dwaraka. And as an expansion of Radharani, Mahalakshmi as an expansion of Radharani, and who is, and Radharani herself is the internal pleasure potency, the Haladini. And this, and how do we understand this? Because Jiva Goswami says so in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, based on, he cites this from Vishnu Purana 1.12.69, Canto 1, Chapter 12, verse 69 of the Vishnu Purana says this. Padini Sandini Samvit. Tvai Yeka Sarva Samastithau. So that means that it is one. They're all one. One with the energetic Lord. And what is all one? Hladini Sandhini Samvit. Sandhini refers to the eternal existence through which you can understand the abhor of Vaikuntha. That is the existence. Vaikuntha is the abhor. To understand the abode, that is Sandhini, that is the internal, that is an aspect of the internal potency. And the complete knowledge. Okay, so Sandhini is basically Sat, you have Chit. Complete knowledge is Samvit. And then you have Kladin, which is the Ananda, the bliss potency. And that is mentioned in the Vishnu Purana 1.12.16, Hladini, Sandhini, and all this is just one, but they appear variegated. The potencies are one, but they appear variegated. And Mahalakshmi expands from this Radharani, who is the pleasure potency of the energetic Lord. That means the position of Mahalakshmi as expansion of Radharani, all of the they is that of oneness and difference with his internal potency. The energetic and the internal potency are again one and different. Achintya Shakti Ishvara Jagadrupi Parinata. How is it that Mahalakshmi and Narayana is exactly the same, but they are different? And that is inconceivable. Achintya Shakti, because of this inconceivable energy, Ishvara Jagadrupe Parinatha. Achintya Shakti Yukta Shri Bhagavan. So that means the Lord Himself, Chaitanya Charitamrita states this, Madhya Leela 6.170, Adi Leela 7.124, that absolute identity alone doesn't exist, absolute difference alone doesn't exist. So that means that there is this inconceivable connection between the internal energy, Mahalakshmi and Narayana. That means, and what we can understand from here, that this Achintya Bheda Abheda applies at all levels, not just between Jiva Tattva and Narayana, but it actually Sarva Sambhadini, where Jiva Goswami gives the definition of Achintya Bheda Bheda, where he says, Swamate to Achintya Bheda Bheda. So, Eva Chintya Shakti Mayatva Rithi. So that is the definition. Parama, this is as a commentary for the Paramatma Samdarbha, Anucheda 78. There he says, Achintya, it refers to the when the substantive is endowed with all these Achintya Shaktis, the Bhagavan is with all the Achintya Shaktis. So referring to the internal potency, I'm going to talk about here as the Abheda. There is no difference between the internal potency, because if there is the energetic, it is always with the internal potency. There is no just as a machine, this is a purport given by Prabhupada, I think in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, I think, and where he says, in a machine, if you have various parts, a machine of made of iron, you have various parts doing different things, but they're all made of the same iron. In the same way, there is abheda. The pot is in effect, while the clay is not an effect, it is a cause. So that means, like, from clay, you make a pot. Okay. So that means that the clay and the pot are all clay, so that there is no difference. However, ultimately, the pot and the clay are only the same, it's the same substance. That is the abheda. So there's no difference between Mahalakshmi and Narayana. But the difference is that, but before the pot, clay alone exists. So here, the analogy is not perfect, you know, you can never take an analogy and say that means there, it is not like Mahalakshmi, there was a time when Narayana was there without Mahalakshmi. That is not correct. The analogy is limited in its value. But it, this one, this analogy is just used to show that there is a cause and that there is effect. So it means that there is a bheda, there is a variegatedness as well. So this Achintya Bheda Bheda exists at all levels. So it is easy for us to understand probably for some, in a certain, to a certain level, to how the Jiva souls, the Jiva Tattva, you can see the marginal energy as Bheda and Abheda. But Mahal, but it also applies to the internal potency. It, at all levels, you can see this Achintya Bheda Bheda. So Brahma Samhita says, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambhrama Sevyamanam Govindam Adipurusham Tam Aham. So I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor. I took the translation from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 5.22. The primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending cows, yielding all desires in the abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by billions of purpose trees. He is always served with the great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata. Hundreds and thousands. It is literally taken from here. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata, hundreds and thousands of goddess of fortune. That is how the Supreme Lord is being served as. So this refers to that the Gaudiya Vaishnava vision theology is a very, very expanded theology. It talks about at various levels. The expansions of Mahalakshmi. Krishna attracts, and this is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami further, he says, Lakshmi Kantadi Avatarera Hare Mana Lakshmi Adi Nahari Ganera Kare Akarshana. But this Krishna attracts not just Mahalakshmi, he attracts Narayana himself. And the next verse, he says that he even attracts Mahavishnu. So this is that even in the expansions of Krishna, there you can see a kind of a Bheda Bheda there. That is Achintya Bheda Bheda, not just Bheda Bheda, Achintya Bheda Bheda. He, Krishna, I added the word Krishna there because the previous verse refers to Krishna. So he, Krishna, also attracts Narayana, who is in the expansion of Shankarshana and the husband of the goddess of fortune. He also attracts Narayana, but also the women headed by the goddess of fortune. Everybody is being attracted by Krishna. So Mahalakshmi is attracted by Krishna, Narayana himself is attracted by Krishna, and so is Mahavishnu. So these kind of subtle theologies are very, very, it's such an elaborate understanding in the Gaudiya Vaishnava theology. Okay, it's very, very, very beautiful. And here a comment about those who worship Mahalakshmi. There are at least two categories. In the Shaktas, they also worship Mahalakshmi, but they do it without Narayana. That is what distinguishes the Vaishnava from the Shaktas. Because the Vaishnava always worship the divine couple. Mahalakshmi with Narayana, Radharani with Krishna, Sita Devi with Ramachandra. The energetic and the energy. However, if you just worship the energy, that is called as worship of Shakti, or they are called Shakta. That is the difference between a theist and those who are not a theist. A theist always worships the energetic with the energy. So that is why the Vaishnavas are called as theist. A theist worships God. And God and his energies are work, his internal energies, all they're all energy of worship. It's a total abheda unit, but there is variegatedness. So a vision of a Vaishnava from in the material sense, everything, nothing is dovetailed to Krishna. And but if you look at the bottom point here, that the Vaishnava sees everything in relationship with Krishna. Even in this material world, by such advanced knowledge, everything will become spiritualized. In other words, everything in the material world is already spiritual, but due to our lack of knowledge, we are not able to see it. But when it is dovetailed with Krishna, we are able to see the world as it is. This is a comment which I just wanted to make. It is sort of relevant to the verse that was yesterday's verse. It is taken from Prameya Ratnavali, where it is said, Vishnoho Shreer Anapayini. I just wanted to make a note there that as far as we are concerned, Mahalakshmi does not belong to the Jiva Tattva category. Oh, the best of the Brahmanas, Mahalakshmi is the constant companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. And therefore, she is called as Anapayini. She is the mother of all creation. Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. His spiritual potency, Mother Lakshmi, is also all-pervading. Lord Vishnu has three principal potencies. We spoke about this. Internal, external, marginal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted Parasakti. Who is the Parasakti? The spiritual energy of the Lord. As being identical with the Lord, thus she is included in the independent Vishnu Tattva. Mahalakshmi is as independent as Vishnu himself. That is the conclusion of our previous Acharyas, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, and that is also the conclusion of the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas. Some difference comes with the Madhva Vaishnavas alone, who have categorized, if you see the Mahabharata Tatpari Nirnaya of Madhvacharya, it starts with the Ramayana Tatpari Nirnaya. There, Mahalakshmi is classified in the Nitya Mukta, as eternally liberated, that means as a Jiva. So, of course, among the best, highest rank, but still in the Jivas. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have differed from it. And just as the Sri Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas also do not have, do not consider Mahalakshmi as the Jiva Tattva. Mahalakshmi is as potent and equal as Mahavishnu himself. This is my last slide. So those who are wanting, everybody wants a fortunate life, whether it is in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, what is fortunate? Having the Lord is the fortunate situation. But whether you're talking about material fortune, spiritual fortune, the real fortune, material fortune is illusory, is our illusory vision. And how is that one can attract Mahalakshmi to reside? Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishno. Where there is Krishna, the master of all the yogas. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishno Tatra. There Shri. Shri refers to the name. The name of Mahalakshmi is Shri. Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir. There victory. Mahalakshmi will come there. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishno Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir. So it is a dangerous situation to attract. Prabhupada cites this in many places, to attract, to try to go to Mahalakshmi without Krishna. The video seems frozen. You're able to hear?
Yes, Sapaji, we can hear
you. Okay. So, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishno, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir. Okay, so with that, I'm going to conclude this session. If I have said anything wrong, something that you'd like to correct, please please let me know. And thank you so much. Thank you so much. My video disappeared. I apologize.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhuji. You very nicely explained the importance of Lakshmi Devi, and she is equal to Narayana. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. You have time for questions now, Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji. I'll take for a few minutes, Mataji. Then actually I have to go prepare for another lecture actually after that.
Yes, sure. We'll end up quickly, Prabhuji. Jyoti Mataji, please unmute yourself and go ahead, Prabhuji. Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your session and enlightenment of the lectures today. Prabhuji, I have two questions. One question belongs to story that I have read in some other scripts, that the Mahalakshmi once had some fight and she came to Mumbai. Means she kept 1 foot on Mumbai, that is the Mumba Devi, and then she was taken to the abode by Vishnu. So that is the reason whoever goes to Mumbai, they are they become very wealthy, and it, out of curiosity, I just wanted to cross verify if that story is valid or.
I do not know, Mataji. I really do not know, but there are various temples in India where Mahalakshmi is. There are pastimes called as Thalapurana for different places. You can see that throughout India, where there are pastimes of Mahalakshmi, and then Narayana also is in those pastimes, and then they reside in different places, and then so. In that context, it is possible what you had said, but I actually do not know, Mataji. So, thank you for sharing, though. It is good for me to know. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. And one more question I have for you. In Maharashtra, we worship Ganesh Puja, right? So there is a custom or the festival that we celebrate. Like, we have 2 days of Lakshmi Puja, Mahalakshmi Puja in our house. And then they say that those two are like sisters of Ganesha. So, means what? Is there any link with the scripts about this story? Because they are the demigods, right? But still we worship, because what I think is, like, what is wrong to pay our obeisances or to respect demigods? So, but I just wanted to cross it.
I will put it this way, Mataji, even though I do not know about this particular worship, but all the devas, they're all worshipped. Like, all we have to see here is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. When he went to the South India Yatra, okay, when he went to for 2 years, the number of Lord Shiva temples that he went to actually exceeds the number of Vishnu temples that he even went to. So that tells the position of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What kind of respect we have for the associates of the Lord. And therefore, we, Mahaprabhu went to Kanchi, he went to Shiva Kanchi, he also went to Vishnu Kanchi. So in this way, and they are all having such intimate interactions with the Lord. So it is wonderful to worship the Lord with all his associates. It's a really amazing thing. That so I do not see, as long as we are fixed in our devotional service to the Lord, all of this will only help. So it will help, and they will all give us the benedictions to help in our service to Krishna. So I will stop with that, Mahachi. But if there is somebody else who can actually add to the exact festival that you are talking about, they may be, because I don't have knowledge about it. But all I would say is there is so much variegatedness in the spiritual world, and it is very beautiful to when all the associates of the Lord, they're all in the service of the Lord, and it is very nice for us to give them that respect and prayers as well.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much, and eternally grateful to you for informing back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we have to follow what his instructions do to the core of our heart, and I'll try to be focused on what he's teaching is rather than relate to what I have read earlier before coming to devotion. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Prithi will ask me, Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji, with your question. No, Krishna Prabhu, so much for covering such a beautiful topic. Prabhu, my question is more related to the Chatushloki here. So in this context, what Yamanacharya writes, does he speak to Mahalakshmi along with Narayana as the Paratattva, meaning as together as the Lord, or he sees, because we understand that later there were two sects, where one sect can still be based on the commentaries on the Vedanta Sutras, they couldn't reconcile Brahman being just both together. So one sect says it is only Narayana, the other sect says no, it's Mithuna Bhav, both of them together. So how does Yamanacharya see Lakshmi in these four verses is my question.
So the word so if you see in the fourth verse, here it is there. Murtam Brahma Tatopi. Okay, so that is visible. So I actually don't know, Mataji. I should not speculate on this, because these are four verses. There are, as you said, there are elaborate commentaries. I think there is one by Pillai Lokacharya. I think they've all elaborated on this four verses. But I really don't know whether how exactly they are seeing this. But I will put it this way. As far as Vishishtadvaita is concerned, Brahman is the total absolute existence.
Oh, sorry. Sorry for my word mixed up. I mean to say Ishvara, not Brahman.
Oh, Ishvara. Okay. Can you repeat the question again, Mataji?
So how is Ishvara seen according to these four verses of Yamanacharya?
Okay.
Is Ishvara seen only as Narayana, or Ishvara seen as Lakshmi Narayana together? Because the two sects within the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they later branched out. One of the differences is how they see Ishvara based on the Vedanta Sutras, right? So based on this four shlokas of Yamuna, which Ishvara involves the Mithuna Bhav, which is like both Narayana and Lakshmi, or just Narayana, according to his vision, Yamanacharya's vision, since he has written the Chatushloki, so I'm asking.
So, Mataji, I'll tell you what I can understand and what I don't know. And what I am able to understand from this after reading the commentaries of some of the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas is that here it is a sincere praise being done to Mahalakshmi about the position of Mahalakshmi, about her qualities, attributes. But as a Vaishnava, he is talking about Narayana also. In these verses, it is not a perspective where he's just talking about Mahalakshmi and he's talking about Narayana. And I understand, Mataji. I'm coming to what you're saying. So, so in that sense, he's talking here about both Mahalakshmi and Narayana. However, is he talking about Mahalakshmi or as the Ishvara, as the Lakshmi Narayana, or is he talking about Narayana? That I don't know. I'm not able to see that exactly from this. Maybe that is the reason why there are so many, as you say, if there are different understandings. But if those understandings are also, I feel that it is good, because there is so many variegatedness in the absolute truth, that different people, they will have a different inclination towards their spiritual progress. That is because there is so much variety, and as soon as we appreciate that variety, I think it is, we can understand the variety of the Lord himself. So in that sense, I'm able to appreciate what you're saying, Mataji. But here in these things, I'm not able to say anything from these four verses what exactly he's saying about this thing that you mentioned. So
yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for
Thank you.
Yeah, analyzing these four verses very beautifully. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful answer. Jyoti Mataji, you still have question? Mataji, do you?
Yes, Mataji, one question. I just wanted to know how many qualities Mother Mahalakshmi has, because Lord has 64 qualities. Then his incarnation happens, the qualities are like less. But she is the expansion of Radha, Srimati Radharani. So how many qualities does she have? Because she's the purest devotee of Lord. So I just wanted to know.
So, Mataji, so if you see this, I think when you take it from that 64 qualities, you know, that is one way to understand that, you know, I know there are lectures also right now on the 64 qualities that this group is able to hear. But if you look at this from the other perspective, Yamunacharya here says that the qualities of Mahalakshmi are immeasurable and equal to that of the Lord. So that means, like, if you see this, where is this verse number? Okay, verse 2. So if you see the qualities, okay, Mahimana, the greatness, and then the greatness. So maybe he's talking here about greatness. You know, he's not talking about just the qualities alone. The greatness is Matam Nalam. That is, it just cannot be known. It cannot be measured. Niravadhim. And it cannot be measured. So I actually don't know whether it is appearing in this, because greatness is also, if you see that as one quality. So I don't know, Mataji. Maybe there are really some experts in this. But if you can, if somebody knows about this in terms of Radharani, then maybe one can understand. One may be able to say, speculate about Mahalakshmi. So I actually don't know. But according to this, it is, she is, these verses are Yamunacharya, Mahavishnu and Mahalakshmi are identical. And equal in all qualities. That is what these verses are saying here. So, but if somebody wants to add to this, I would also benefit from that. So,
grateful to you, Prabhuji. Thank you for answering me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Does anybody have any questions or realizations you'd like to share? Prithivallasmi Mataji.
I think my hat on maybe.
Okay. Ishopnath is Mataji. Do you want to go ahead, Mataji? Unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Prabhu. Thank you so very much for that wonderful description of Mahalakshmi. I wanted to find out or ask, are there any novels, books, pastimes on the personality of Lakshmi? I'm sure there are in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but there are books just that describe just her qualities, her personality, her pastimes. Are you aware of any?
Off top of my head, I do not, Mataji. But if I will look into my library, and if I find something, I will send it to the organizers of this Bhakti Sangha Japa group.
Thank you.
The thing, and then I will, and then they can communicate to you.
Jai Haribo. Thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. I think nobody have any other questions, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, I just wanted to thank Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call and giving such a beautiful class. Very grateful to you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Always, your classes are very nice, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, and thank you for asking me to come today to do this. Even though yesterday was Radhashtami, everybody must have been so in the temple and everything. So, but I did not want to miss this opportunity to praise Mahalakshmi this morning. So, thank you so much for this opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I think we can end the call here, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhuji. We look forward for your session. We always come to you for the classes in the last minute, Prabhuji, but you always take up. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpa Garubhyasha.
Vancha Kalpa Garubhyasha.
Vishnu Vrinda Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Radhe Radhe. Gauranga.
Nityananda.